What's up, guys? And that song you just heard is called Mi Corazón, that you can find streaming wherever you stream your favorite music, written by myself and produced by Aaron McLendon. And welcome back to your one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity, spirituality, where you can balance while being an entrepreneur. I wanted to ask you a favor. Can you go on to your stars and give us some reviews? Share this to your favorite people that you love, that you know will resonate with it. And if you are a creative person that, you know, also balances your life and is spiritual, shoot me an email. Or if you know somebody, you can just send over an email to mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com and make sure that you follow us on Instagram. All right. So today, you guys, we have a very, very special, talented person, a fellow Latino that I just realized we kind of switched coasts. So now they're on the West Coast, I'm on the Southeast Coast. And so, yeah, today we have an amazing person. His name, you guys, is Paul Anthony. And who is Paul Anthony? Paul Anthony is a highly accomplished celebrity hair and makeup artist and influential figure in the beauty industry based in Los Angeles, California. With an impressive career spanning over 30 years, Paul has established himself as an expert in the field, working with renowned celebrities and commercial brands like, just to name a few, because his bio was like, whoa, Jacqueline Smith, Rosin Sanchez, Justina Machado, Elizabeth Rome, Diana Torres, Alicia Machada, Paola Niñez, Angelica Celaya, Cynthia Olaviria, Jamie Osorio, Patricia de León, Zuleika Rivera, Paula Abdul, Pamela Anderson, L'Oreal, Nexus, Sebastian, Paul Mitchell, CoverGirl, Revlon, Maybelline, Smashbox, Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, all the one-stop shops, right? Nordstrom. Born in New York City and raised in Puerto Rico and Miami, Paul discovered his passion for styling at the young age of 19. He underwent extensive training with world-renowned hairstylists, excelling in the art of competition for world hair shows. His expertise lives in haircuts, coloring, styling, makeup, and transformative beauty makeovers. Paul's exceptional skills and talent have garnered him numerous accolades, winning various competitions and serving as a platform artist for major professional hair companies. His work has been prominently featured on television and photo shoots, fashion shows, and top tier magazines. And here we are with his vast experience, unwavering dedication, and artistic flair. Paul Anthony continues to shape the world of hair and makeup, leaving an undeniable mark on the beauty industry. His commitment to excellence and passion for his craft has solidified his position as a highly sought after stylist in Hollywood and beyond. Wow, you guys. Oh my God. Give him a round of applause. Like, bravo, papi. How you doing? Welcome, welcome.
I'm good. That's a lot, right?
It's a mouthful. I had to like take a deep breath and condense it. I mean, it's well earned and you deserved it. Worked with you personally and I've seen how talented you are in person. I wish you, I mean, that deserves its own like show, which you do have. Actually, I just discovered that you do have your own YouTube. So you guys make sure you go to the description, follow him, do all the things that you do to support our fellow creative people. So thank you so much for being here. How are you doing? How's everything in LA right now?
I'm good. A little jet lag because I just got back from Spain, but you know, I was there for 2 weeks as I was adjusting in Spain, I was coming back, and now I'm trying to adjust here. I get up at 3 a.m. I'm like, oh my God, this is too much. But I'm here. I'm here, and I'm excited.
That's what I think creative people do. We just kind of adapt wherever we go. And I mean, no wonder you were messaging me. So I was messaging you so early, and then you were responding back. I'm like, go to sleep, man. Like, it's early over there. But I really appreciate you being here, and you know, being open minded with sharing your journey and your experience. So, how was it growing up in Puerto Rico? I mean, what part were you born? Born in New York.
I was born in New York, and I was raised in Miami and Puerto Rico. I left Miami at the age of 12, I moved to Puerto Rico. And it was kind of hard at the beginning because I where I'm from in Puerto Rico is kind of like the country part of Puerto Rico. I'm not in the city. So you have San Juan, that is the metropolitan, and then you have the other side of the island. That's where all the country part, El Campo, as we would say, you know, where it comes to Kiri. You go into the restroom in a hole, you know. It was hard for me to adapt, but at the beginning, you know, as I said, you know, I say today as an adult, you know, it was one of the most beautiful disguised blessings in my life because I was able to learn about the culture of where I'm from, you know, and There's one thing when you're born in the States, another thing when you're raised within the country you're from. Two different worlds, you know, and for me, I was kind of like blessed as I got older and when I started learning more about Puerto Rico, is because I was living in Puerto Rico. Yeah. And then came back to the States in 92 and I started, you know, adventuring out there and going to New York and seeing the Puerto Ricans from New York. And I would say to myself and my friends, but they're not Puerto Rican. But they are Puerto Rican because they have the right because their family are from Puerto Rico.
Sure.
But it's such a different culture. And I don't know if it happens for Mexicans, it happens for Cubans and all other people from other countries when you're raised from the States versus to your country. It's a huge difference, you know, and
oh yeah,
kind of, you know,
no, 100%. I mean, I'm born in East LA, Boyle Heights, first generation. Both parents were born in Mexico, and same thing. Like, I was never Mexican enough, but I was also never like American enough. So you're in this like weird middle part of always trying to like, you know, prove to yourself like or to everybody else. But I think it's really just about proving it to you, right? And if you're happy, that's all that matters. Like, who cares what others think?
That happened to me in Puerto Rico because I wasn't Puerto Rican enough for anyone because I was American. I was considered a gringo.
Yep.
With three brothers. We got in there. We're really white three guys with green blue eyes.
Yeah. And your eyes are beautiful.
Thank you. They said, this is an American guy. What is gringos doing here in Puerto Rico? And not knowing that I'm kind of like the fifth generation of Puerto Ricans because my great-great-grandmother is from Puerto Rico and all my family is from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I'm first generation born in the States, but comes back to Puerto Rico and kind of was trying to find himself within the group of who I am or who do I represent, you know? And basically, I was kind of more Puerto Rican than anybody in the room because I'm Puerto Rican, you know? And when I go to people, oh, where are you from? I'm Puerto Rican. Oh, I'm not no Italian. I'm not European. I'm Puerto Rican.
Right.
Very proud of being Puerto Rican. And I love my little island. And I always say to everybody, you know, I'm pure Puerto Rican. I would love to say anything other than that, but I'm like fifth, sixth generation from Puerto Rican, you know?
Like,
more Puerto Rican than that I can be, you know?
I love it. No, and being in Orlando, Florida for the past year now, I mean, I've always loved all cultures in general, but I can definitely relate a lot to Puerto Ricans just because you're very tight knit. It's all about family and you're all up in each other's business and, you know, you celebrate each other's successes and you know, it's a very passionate culture, which I think Mexicans can relate to as well. Like, we're very dramatic when it comes to romanticism or like novelas and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm working here at Paul Mitchell Cosmetology School in Orlando. I mean, it was prominently Puerto Rican, which I loved. I was here for it. And the Spanish is very beautiful, but the dialect is also very different so that was a little challenging to like, I have to really pay attention to the enunciation because it's like, it sounds like a canción, you know what I mean? It's like up and down. It's very beautiful.
Where and then I feel we think as Puerto Ricans, we think that Mexican sings when they speak and it's kind of
Well, my husband says that, no, your Spanish is very monotone. Like, it's just like one note. I'm like, okay, whatever. But that's what he hears as he's American, so he doesn't speak Spanish. And then, so yeah, it's just different. I guess each person is going to have like their perspective of it, right? You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yes. One of the things I've loved all my life in traveling is listening to the accents of people,
yes,
you know? And going to Spain, because I have a lot of friends from Spain here in LA, actors.
What part of Spain were you at?
I was in Madrid, Sevilla, and Toledo. Was
amazing.
Breathtaking. But, you know, going to Spain, being there for 2 weeks, it's funny that now I understand more the Spaniard people. I know my friends that live in L.A., I understand them better because you kind of get a little taste of the culture, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone, that's the beauty of life. And being able to travel to the Philippines and all these things that I do with my clients gives me the opportunity to really accept other cultures and see the truth of who they are and how different we all are. And at the same time, we're one within the blending pot, you know?
100%.
And that compassion and that love towards one another and understanding that. That's why for me, when it comes to comparisons, it's really hard because I find that we all have the right to be whoever we want to be and speak, we speak, but a very respectful, loving, kind way, you know, without hurting one another, you know?
No, exactly right. If you are coming in with an open mind and respecting one another to be their authentic selves, then you are in return going to be just as happy and accepting of yourself. I want to ask you, now that I've learned that we're both kind of bi-coastal, what are your biggest top three differences from the West Coast to the East Coast?
Okay.
Because I have mine, but you go.
I decided at the age of 40, let me tell you a backstory of how I could do the comparison.
I thought you were 40. What? That's crazy.
No, I'm turning 55. So
amazing.
You look fantastic. Thank you. I left at the age of 40 Miami because my parents had died, both of them at the same year, 2007.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. It was kind of devastating. At the same time, I said, you know what? I gotta get out of here. I gotta do something with my life. So I go to New York for 7 months, and then I go to LA. Mm-hmm. And then I make the decision of where I really wanted to stay. And my heart was saying, you know, my gut was saying LA, even though LA was harder for me to get on my two feet. New York was faster and easier because I knew a lot of photographers. It was more work for me. But my heart continued saying, stay in LA, stay in LA, stay in LA. So I stay in LA. So the comparison for me being able to be in these three kind of cities, like Miami, New York, and LA. Miami, you know, it's a very party city. It's very hard to find people to be focused and be driven to doing something in their lives. Everything is like, where we're going next, where's the party, where's the new club, what are we going to wear, what's new, who has more than the other one. And then New York, everybody's fast-paced, everybody's in their own lives. They're very strong-minded people, sometimes to the point that they say, I don't like you, but let's have a cup of coffee. Very honest people. LA is very different. LA is a lot of people do come here to become, they want to become famous, or they want to become an actor or famous hair and makeup artist. They want to be somebody within the celebrity world.
So
everybody's looking for what can I get from who and when and where. So that's very LA. Bit. Kind of like they're very smiley, loving, caring in your face, but when they turn your back, it's a different story, it's a different whole. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I thought you were this way, but you're not. But that's how the way people in LA to try to get what they want and where they're going, because they're very driven as well. Don't get me wrong. They're focused. And it's like, if whatever I need to do and who with, I'm going to do it to get there, you know? Sure. And that's LA.
Sure.
And for me, being here 14 years that I've been here, you know, at the beginning, you know, it was hard. It was hard because I was saying to myself, what am I doing? I have a great career in Miami. I have a huge clientele. I have a great name behind the chair working as a hairstylist.
Yeah, you're wearing a couple salons, big salons too.
Yeah. And I even did my own salon before I came here. And it was the time that I opened in 2008. That's when the market fell and everything went. Oh, it's the most horrible experience, but at the same time, a blessing. Because if you would ask me today, they give me today $100 million and they said, would you open a salon? I would say, absolutely not. But that's me. Because I'm more of a free spirit. I like to be all around. I like to be with everyone. I don't want to be locked into one certain place because that's not who I am. And it took me 50-odd years to understand it and know it, you know, because through experience, that's the only way I was able to understand more and more who I was and what I really wanted.
Sure.
And LA, what helped me in LA was to really ground myself and start my healing process, because my personal life was kind of a little hard. You know, when you sit down, you think about who you are and the things that you've been through. It's kind of hard, like everyone else. I'm not the only one that has suffered or gone through major things within yourself. But I know one thing, you're here to heal them. And however you choose to do it and when or where, it's up to you. But it's something that we all got to go through some way or the other. That's why today I celebrate my life and I understand better even my parents, my past and everything that I went through, because it kind of shaped me and taught me to be the man that I am today, you know, and what I really put my mind and my heart to today, you know. Even working on a brand, doing what I'm doing, I really sit down, I'm cautious about it. I'm very aware, I'm very vigilant of my choices and very honest to who I am. And it took me many years to figure that out. Many years, you know?
That's what I'm talking about. This is exactly why I wanted to create this podcast. You said it beautifully. I had some questions, which I'm going to get to, but the essence of your passion and your experience and the ups and the downs and you just kind of embracing it and knowing that each part of that is going to help you get to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And you've never had like, from when I've worked with you, you've never had like a, not a smile. Like you're always smiling and you're always happy and just have this like bright energy and just, you know what I'm saying? Like this beauty, you can tell like you're authentically enjoying like your craft, and it shows through in your work and your personality when you're behind the camera or when you're in front of the camera. Cause that's kind of like how we met. We were behind the camera, but still in front of the camera doing competition shows for Reality Beauty. And that's when I was like, this guy is special. Like I see him, and how you worked with Mitchell, and you guys just like had a really good rapport, and you can just tell that it was a partnership, but you were supporting one another through that experience. And that's probably what, no, that's not probably, that is exactly what you do wherever you go. I'm sure when you're part of a team, it's collaborative, it's 1000%, and you're going to help uplift them as they're uplifting you through that experience. So yeah, well said. Thank you so much for sharing all that. No, the journey is beautiful. I see why you chose LA, and the back to my original question of your biggest comparisons, for myself being born and raised there, like that's all I knew. Like, so, and being Mexican American, and born in the 80s was like, oh, you're going to work hard. You're going to go to school hard. You're going to do everything, this way to be like the best, you know, at what you can do. So as far as like the, what we call it, networking in LA, like that was just installed in me at such a young age, like network with whoever you can, which is to see how you can help them. But yes, I do see the other side of that where, you know, and my mom told me this at a young age, like, mijo, you have a light, protect it. Some people are going to be attracted to it. Some dark energies are going to want to take from it. So cuidado, you know? So I never took that for granted. And I would be aware of like, you know, your intuition, and it'll tell you like if this energy is good for you or not. And universally, or the universe in general will shift out and filter what's not meant to be in your journey through that. But now being here, like for a year, I love it. It feels like home. I was a little, you know, hesitant at first just because I've never lived in any other state. And I know one thing that I do miss is my Mexican food, like for sure. Like I have to cook myself. There's no chiles here. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a thing. Like we're in LA, you had so many corners, like for street tacos or Korean tacos, or you know what I'm saying, like vegan options. And over here it's like very limited. You have to really explore. And I think Tampa's been the best place so far for tacos that I've like discovered. Do you have any recommendations? Because I'm struggling.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because when I first moved to LA, that was my whole drama as well, because I was such a Caribbean eating guy. You know, I'm Puerto Rican, rice and beans, it's all about the flavor about Caribbean. So when I first got here, it was really hard for me because everything was Mexican, and I wasn't used to that. I don't have the palate mm-hmm. at that time. And nothing spicy. I was like, no, I don't want spicy. And I remember the first restaurant that I went Cuban was in El Cochinito in Silver Lake.
Oh, it's so good there.
And I got on my knees on the floor, and I'm like, oh my God, I found my life. I understand what you're saying, because
yeah,
the best Mexican food you will find it here in Los Angeles, and there's so many of them. Because
period,
from the one that you least expect, you're like, oh my God, now I'm going to Spain and mm-hmm. I'm eating Mexican food. I said, like, what am I doing eating Mexican food in Spain? Because I love Mexican food. Because I've learned within LA to yes. eat Mexican food. And funny enough, I went to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. I said, it was nice, but it wasn't the best. Because you know, when you go back to LA, you don't know, honey, the best is here. Best Mexican.
Thank
food.
You. You know and what it is?
I've learned to open myself to eating, and I love it now. I love it and I enjoy mm-hmm. it. I'm still a little bit afraid of the spice, you know, because yeah. that burns. And I always say, so, un poquito, por favor, mild, very mild, but the best Mexican. So I get it. I understand. I know what you're going through. I went through it too.
You know, I love Caribbean food too, and I love Cuban food as well, but I'm vegetarian. So that's a little challenging also, like making sure that it's not cooked with meat. But for me, Mexican food, this is what I base it off of. My husband's a little bit loud right now. Hold on. What? Do you hear him?
I just heard him. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now he's good. All right. So this is what I base good, authentic Mexican food off. Are the tortillas like handmade? Do you have your options from like, maíz en arena, which is corn or flour, are the pinto beans cooked with like other herbs, and is it the Mexican Spanish rice style, and or coctel de camarón? Like those components, if they're not done well, I'm out. Like I don't want any. Oh, and the chile, if there's no like good chile de árbol or like habanero or some jalapeños or serranos, like I don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's like what really gives it that taste, that authentically, like, with all the little, look at it, my mouth's like drooling right now, of like cilantro and cebolla, like all that stuff. Like it just the toppings just make it, you know, right. So, but yeah, I definitely love Caribbean food as well. Mexican food, I'm just gonna continue that journey, you guys. So if you have any suggestions in Orlando, Florida, please type them
I
in.
don't know. I don't know anything in Orlando, but maybe I might. Maybe you're gonna have to add to your resume a Mexican restaurant yourself,
Yeah, I'm totally down.
because I think people are gonna really experience the great way of eating real Mexican food, you know, from someone who's Mexican, you know.
Yes. I mean, I've honestly, that's always been kind of like a little bit of dream. East LA Boyle Heights bodega style kind of one stop little pop shop, you know what I mean? But we'll
Yes.
see. I gotta focus on one project at a time because I'm getting ahead of myself. But no, I really appreciate you sharing all that. I wanted to ask you a couple questions, based off of your expertise and just where you're at. Do you have any practices or routines that you have placed in to nurture your creativity, spirituality while like running your business?
That for me is everything because I'm a very sensitive human. That's how I work, you know, all my life. I take things, I've learned now, but before I would take things personal because I didn't know better what I know today, you know. And as I started practicing more of my spirituality, and there's a great book that came into my life that changed my life. It's called A Course in Miracles, that really taught me to differentiate, you know, to know what the difference was from love to fear, you know, and really connect to the source of who we are and know the nature of who I am, and that's pure love, you know. And we sometimes run away from it because we fear these emotions that we go through in life. Being a person that works in service, you know, we work with all types of people, the good, the bad, the ups, the downs. And me, as sensitive that I am, I took it personal, you know. I really took it personal, even their energy, energetically, how they felt and how I felt, you know. And I tried four times in my life to get out of this business because if it was affecting me emotionally. And I said to myself, you know, this is a gift that I got. And no matter what, I tried four times to get away and I was coming back to it. And it's something that I do effortless and something that I do with such passion and compassion and so much love. I said to myself, I need to make a decision how I'm going to balance this in my life. How am I going to be able to connect and not take things personal, but at the same time become a vehicle of love to others? And that's when I made the decision that I needed to dedicate time to myself and really find within who I am. And I started the Course in Miracles, and the Course in Miracles helped me truly to figure out a lot of things that I didn't know what was really happening personally, to be able to
Very
express
cool.
and extend who I truly am. And it's all about removing these blocks, you know, these belief systems that we create, but we acquire at a very young age and through our society and through education and all these things that we don't know any better because we become very robotic, you know, and think there's not a better way, and there is a better way. There is a better way of doing things and thinking things, you know. And when I started figuring it out, not only I became more happier, I'm more kinder, I'm more loving to myself. I put myself first. It's funny because this thing, you see that thing that's coming up?
It's
I
the
don't do that.
new it's no
I don't
it's
do it.
the
It does it
it's the
automatically.
new I don't know if it's doing it to my computer because oh there it is. It's the new software
Oh.
update. So
Oh, any movement
sorry.
that I make, it
Okay,
wraps.
so really quick, because this is not only a podcast, but it's a visual, it's on YouTube. So the people that are watching it on YouTube can see what's happening, but the people that are listening on podcasts, if you have recently done the software update with your iOS device, whether it's a phone or a laptop, an iPad, and you do like a heart emoji or like
Oh, I
there's a
love
heart,
it.
you do
That's
the
so
thumbs
beautiful.
up, then things will happen, like, or you raise your hand. Something like that. Yeah, there's different things that will like make it kind of go off.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow, yeah, but thank you so much for sharing that. A couple takeaways. You talked about the book. What was the name of the book?
Of Course in Miracles.
Okay. And then you have a channel which you kind of dedicated to that practice as well, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us to, because I'm aware of it because I just discovered it and started following, I subscribe. But for those of us that are not familiar with it, can you talk to us a little bit about what that is?
Okay. I have my channel, Planting Love, and I study this called The Course in Miracles. It's a spiritual psychotherapy. It's a book that teaches you kind of like to become more aware and conscious of what's really truly happening, because we all have the power within ourselves to shift and to change and to choose. And sometimes we don't think we do, but we do. Because one of the things that I learned in my life through my relationship is that I'm not here to change anyone. I'm only here to love them. You know, I'm here to change the way I look at them when it hurts me. Because when something bothers me, it's a reflection of what's happening within myself. Because you're never going to have control what's happening out there. The only control you have is how you react to things. And the great thing about it at the same time is when you do feel uncomfortable, you get to look at it. You get to give yourself the opportunity to dig within yourself and say, okay, this bothers me. I would love to see it differently. I would love to see it in a more kinder, loving way. And it takes time to practice. But when it gets to the point that things that you've carried for years or months or days, you immediately attack and it just dissolves to a nothingness. Because you're really choosing in that moment to be honest to yourself and say, you know what? I feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel right. And I'm not saying, you know, there may be a conversation need to be done, or there's maybe a way to approach it in a different way. It's not about ignoring or trying to walk away. But you're going to know within yourself that the more connected you become with the source of who you are and the brilliant person that you are, you're going to be more guided to make choices in a way that you didn't do in the past. Sure. That maybe, you know?
Yeah.
And today, in my present, it's such, I'm telling you, it's an everyday thing, because we think that, oh, we only do it this day, or we do it tomorrow, and then the next day, no, it's every day.
It's an ongoing practice. Yeah, it's daily.
Ongoing. I was in Spain, let me tell you, I was going through the situation. I'm not going to say name because I don't like to involve people, but
you're good.
There's something that I went through, and I immediately became aware of it because I felt uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, okay, let's look at it. Let's hold it. Let's embrace it. Mm-hmm. You know, because love heals everything. And the love that within you is going to heal and take care of it. And let me tell you, less than an hour, it was gone.
Wow.
It was gone. Yeah. Because
of all the work you've put into your self-development throughout your years and experience.
And you know, Andrew, because I know we did this thing together, this project that we worked together on. And that for me was another gift, a huge gift, because that we sometimes make things our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And our salvation doesn't come out there. It comes from within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you get lost in Hollywood because you think you're here to become famous, or you're here to become this huge next big thing. And you start fighting against the wind. You start going against the river. And there's a path that each and every one of us have. Yeah. And until you give yourself that value, that true value, it has nothing to do with what's happening out there. It's all it has to do within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to understand everything that you're doing in the moment that you're doing it. And doing that project that I did with you was such a beautiful eye awakening, because that's when I understood that what I'm doing is that when you sit down, you have a plate of food. It's a lot of ingredients. And sometimes what we do with life, we create one thing, the ingredient, and it's not. It's a lot of ingredients within our life that makes us successful, makes us happy, makes us connect to who we are. It's not your career. It's not the money you make. It's not even the husband or the wife or the person. It's a lot of that makes the whole plate. When you look at it, you go, wow, what a beautiful plate I'm going to eat today. But it has a lot of ingredients. So let me enjoy every single one of them and bring them together and say, this is my life. You know,
it's what I love.
You know, mm-hmm.
And I love that plate. Yeah, it probably has a little bit of Mexican food, a little Cuban food, a little Puerto Rican food.
So I take that experience.
Yes.
Such a beautiful, because I've met a lot of beautiful, incredible human beings, including you.
But
I knew then, and it helped me understand that no, this is only a part of what's happening within your life. Yeah. It's not your life.
Yeah. You know? It doesn't shape you. It's not defining you, but it's definitely a part of the experience for you to make that conscious decision to learn from it, grow with it, and make it be the person that you want to be. And what Paul Anthony's talking about is the show American Beauty Star. We were on season one together, which is streaming now, actually, on Tubi, Amazon Prime, like wherever you... it's back up. And we had partners. We were part of a team. So I worked with Cheetah, who's hairstylist from Arizona, and then who's Mexican as well, and then Ponthony worked with a makeup artist that was from London and very talented, Mitchell. I'm sure you guys have heard of Mitchell. He's got his own line and he's really popular in social media and huge influencer, very talented. He was the one that I was like, oh man, he's my competition. This young MUA is gonna like come and get me.
You know, it's
But
funny because everyone on the show thought that who was going to make it to the end was Mitchell, right?
yeah,
Because of his
legit,
talent
same.
and his amazing energy. And I remember the day that we were booted out, I was in shock. I was like, oh my God, interesting. You know, this incredible talent. But you know what? I think it went perfect for him as much as it's perfect for
Oh,
me.
100%.
Because that's when you understand that, and don't get me wrong, it did hit me and it knocked me down because I really had a different mindset of what was gonna happen. But that's when you understand and you learn in life that don't think that you know, you know,
For real.
because you don't know, you just don't know, you know. And the least person that I thought within the show that was gonna win won. But again, that's how it unfolded, you know, and it doesn't take away the right that he had as well as much as Mitchell had, or any as well for you, because you're an incredible artist as well and talented.
Thank you. Thank you.
Every single person had that opportunity to be there and to make it to the end and win the show. It was for them to win, you know.
What was your overall experience like? Because I'm just curious. I haven't talked to you about that. Like, I don't know. Like, I know how my experience was, and I've talked to other people that I was close with after that experience. But what was it like for you?
For me, it was interesting because, first of all, if you would ask me if I would do it where I'm at today, I would have said no, you know. But where I was at the moment that I was, because then I go back to who I was at that moment and what I was doing within my own career, you know. But was I treated bad? No, I it was it and I was I treated the greatest? No, but it was an experience that I chose to go through that for me, it taught me a big lesson. And it gave me the opportunity to become aware because there was a part that we were all interviewed that they didn't show it.
I
And
remember what you're talking about, though.
I remember in the interview, they asked me a question. Andrew, I couldn't talk. I started crying. My throat got, I couldn't even say a word. And I was saying to them, I'm so sorry, please excuse me. Because I understood for the first time being in Los Angeles. What I needed to abandon to be there was my family, my friends, the people that I love the most. And I had never sat down to become aware of that. And when I was in that interview, I started crying like a baby because then I understood the sacrifice that I chose to do to be there in LA and why I was there, you know. And it was kind of beautiful at the same time because sometimes we don't not aware of what we're going through in life and some emotion that we're carrying that until we don't bring it to the surface, it doesn't help us understand or heal. And that was for me a great opportunity again, another great thing that happened to me on the show, you know,
I love
and
that.
met a lot of great people and beautiful people. I think it was so awesome, you know, that part I, you know.
I relate to that story 100%. I've talked about this in the past where the human body will store traumas and pains that weren't aware of, and it'll come out in circumstances that are triggered that, trigger that certain memory or emotion. And but it was good that you purged, even though it was in front of the camera. Like, that's probably even they should have. Like, that's really good content. Like, why didn't they air
I know, but I was like, oh my
that?
God, that was embarrassing. I hope they don't show it. But again,
No,
you're
but
right. It
it's
would have been amazing, amazing. But again, you got to understand about reality TV.
still
They're very,
produced.
very controlled. They have the winner. They know who they want to win. Because if they put all these pieces, the audience is always going to gravitate to the most kinder or the most humble or the most, you know, connected to the people and loving and they have to control that. They have to let control to where they want it to go and how they want it to unfold so the public can accept the winner, even though we don't know if that person was to win. You know, we don't know. It's just like you produced, you know.
No, I agree. I think Sandy, the winner for season one, very avant-garde, very talented, but had other, you know, crafts that we were not aware of, like through the competition. Like, he also was a photographer, in addition to owning the salon, and was a creative director, which is kind of essentially what we were doing. Like, we were creative directors for the challenge. So he had that leg up in the competition.
And Sonia, his partner, Sonia, remember Sonia?
Super talented. Yeah. She killed it.
I say she's the one that needed to compete.
Yeah. Her makeup's really stood out.
I love her. She's an amazing human, great, so amazing good. Talent. And I love her to death. And I really connected a lot with her. And she's such a sweetie.
Good. You guys still keep in touch.
Yeah.
I talk to Amanda, Terry occasionally, and Corey occasionally as well, and Catherine, Shimmy Cats. And then obviously
Amanda's a different human.
She's changed.
She's become this amazing.
Yeah, I'm so proud of her.
Yes.
She's doing great. I love her so much. So we're gonna do an exercise now. This is one of my favorite parts of the podcast. And I'm going to actually share my screen in 1 second. So let me set that up. So through this experience, I always like to offer some type of, you know, healing work, which your story is part of that. And I want to do a little exercise with you, if that's okay with you, Paul, Anthony. Okay, so let me do. Are you able to see what I'm sharing on my screen?
Yes, I see it.
Okay, cool. I feel like this is a good practice exercise with you, because this is really everything that you've been discussing and sharing with us through your journey. So I like to do what's called the positive affirmations. And this is going to be a really fun exercise that all the viewers, if you're watching, you are able to see this presentation. But if you're listening on your podcast, I encourage you go to YouTube/Andrew Velasquez and check this out. So here we go. Positive affirmations, declaring the goal stated in present tense, which repeats can influence the brain and pathways and mental rehearsal. And what does that mean? That means the more you verbalize positive affirmations, speaking it out into the universe, the more likely they're going to actually manifest and come true with practice and consistency.
Yes.
There were some studies that were done in 2005 and 2006 that this study confirmed that with positive affirmations, can make a powerful impact to your brain, therefore living a stress-free life. Affirmation intervention, stress reduced with affirmations. You can say something like, I am calm repeatedly, and that's going to cause lower cortisol hormone stress levels, which is going to make you more calm. And then there's also the placebo effect, which means the more you repeat this, the more you will practice it and actually live it. A word that I like to talk about is abracadabra. It's a Hebrew phrase that translates to, as I speak, I create, which is basically magic. Like, literally, what you're saying is going to come true. Okay, so what we're going to do today, Paul Anthony, me and you are going to play the alphabet of affirmations. So we're going to say words of affirmations from A through Z. And then I'm going to give you some examples. The goal is for one person to start with A, then the person to the right, which obviously is you, will then continue with the next letter after reciting the ones before, and so on. So you have to, after the letter B, you still got to go back to the A, and then so on and continue. And you can do this with yourself. You can do this with friends. I do this. I discovered this actually on American Beauty Star, Paul Anthony, at moments of stress, which I was anxious and I was nervous at times. I made it a conscious effort to, you know what, it's kind of like a prayer. I'm going to just say positive words from A through Z and just repeat them and repeat them and repeat it. And then I channeled this part of me that I call Zen Drew, where I was just calm and I would come into any stressful situation just more aware and just stress-free, basically. So are you ready to do this?
Yes. Hopefully I get what you're saying now. Okay, let's do it.
I know it sounded a little complicated, but it's much easier than it sounds. Okay, so I will start. I'm going to start with A, I am amazing. And then you go with, you're going to say B, and then you're going to go with B.
And I do A as well?
That's correct, yes.
And do I say the same thing, I am amazing?
Uh-huh, yes.
I am love.
Okay, so I am amazing. A, go ahead.
And I go, I am amazing, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then I go to B.
That's correct.
I am beautiful.
Perfect. Amazing. I'm beautiful and I'm caring.
I'm amazing, beautiful, and caring.
And then D.
And D, the word D, right?
Yes.
I am D, that's it for D. Divine.
I love that.
I am divine.
All right, you guys. So you have the exercise now. We're not going to do the entire alphabet because that would take up the whole podcast episode. But yes, I encourage you to practice this on yourself with a friend, with a person that you love. And it will be a great exercise that will just get you in the habit of practicing manifestation and do like positive affirmations within yourself. Whenever you're nervous or calm, whenever you're nervous or stressed, take yourself out of that scenario. Go do the alphabet affirmation. Take a deep breath. Come back. You'll be reset. So cool. All right. I'm going to ask you some more questions, Senor Paul Anthony, because your experience has been phenomenal. Can you share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs like yourself looking to incorporate more creativity while also kind of being spiritual in their work?
I think for me at the beginning, when I started my career, for me was education and taking seminars and classes. That for me was a must.
Yes.
And still until today, you know, I've been in the business for 35 years and I still continue to believe in education because it's something that's ongoing. You're always going to learn it. I'm always open and receptive to learning. That's why I love working with individuals and people. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I learned in starting my career, my mentor, she said to me, one of the top stylists in Puerto Rico, she said, you know, we're all stars. The sun comes out for everyone. So we all shine together, you know,
I love that.
Say that to me, it was like, oh wow, you know, always remember that when you walk into a room, mm-hmm. you are the best with the best. So it gives you that opportunity not only to acknowledge yourself but the ones around you, you know, because I never felt competition, because competition, you only compete with yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and when you understand it, because again, you can get lost within the realms of life because we're always comparing. You know, when I started my career, nothing existed. No Twitter, no Instagram. Right. Was Vogue. All the magazines. Yeah. Me looking in the magazines. And then very few you will be listed of hair and makeup artists. People like from my time was Kevin O'Quan, you know, mm-hmm. time and this other amazing makeup artist. Don't remember the name.
The goal was really to like have your own book, to have like a full.
Oh my God. You put out the magazines, you create your own portfolio, and that's what you go. Inspiring yourself and makeup and hair, you had to get mm-hmm. go grab a model, somebody that you knew. Oh, let me play around with you with the makeup.
Yeah,
me, that was my inspiration. And today, still, you know, that's what inspires me, the people around me, and always being inspired. That's something within our career. The moment mm-hmm. we get bored or stagnated, that's when we need to get like to shake ourselves and say, you know, let's put our minds and start looking around and seeing the great, you know, even when I went to Spain, you know, I went to all the museums. I was and watching, seeing the art, you know, Dali and all these amazing Picasso. And just to think hundreds of years ago, these artists created art. How? Where?
Right. Right.
Like,
it came. How did they even imagine that? Yeah.
It's all within themselves. So we sometimes become lazy because we get comfortable. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to get back when it comes to creating. I remember somebody asked me, oh, when you're going to come up with a hairstyle or makeup, what is your procedure? What do you do? I say, I am inspired in the moment. I let myself to connect first with the client. And then we do look at certain things to really like to inspire us and what's going to be like the vision board. Like right now, I did the Grammys in Spain with so Rosalind. Cool. And sitting down, we're sitting like weeks ahead, you know, starting pulling from every angle. We were like this, we like that, we want this hair. And then we break it down, and then we look at the clothing and everything to bring it together, the makeup. And for the first time, I used a wig on her for the red carpet, and we're both of us freaking out. We're freaking out because
it's something different.
Yes, we didn't want it to look wiggy. We wanted to look as natural as it could. And let me tell you, I'm very confident when it comes to doing things. And I'm very strong-minded when it comes to doing trusting. I trust. And I swear, the procedure to get there was rough. I don't know how many wigs we played with and how many trials to the last moment when we put on the wig and she's walking out the door to go to the red carpet. I'm like, oh my God, we did it.
We did bravo.
And you saw it, you know, and you see it on the red carpet, you see all the critics, you see everybody talking about it.
That was me.
All the outlets, and you feel good, you go, wow. That's the beauty of what we do, you know? We sweat, we're freaking out, we're going through these emotions, but that's the greatness of what we do, you know?
That's where the passion comes from, though. Yeah.
Push ourselves out. Don't be afraid
to take a risk.
Be afraid of being afraid because it's going to happen. You're going to be afraid, but go for it because in the end result, you're going to look back, you're going to say, wow, that's why I am an artist and that's why I do what I do.
Legit.
Because we have
you got a thumbs up. You see?
It's crazy. And we got to push the envelope. Push the envelope. Don't be afraid. Because 35 years later, I'm still inspired.
Yeah.
I'm still inspired by you, by everyone. I'm still inspired, you know?
I love that. I love that. That's so cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right, you guys, we're coming up onto my second favorite part of the podcast. And this is called Wrapping Up Mindful Artists, Rapid Cues. So, Paul Anthony, I'm going to ask you some questions, just three simple questions. Okay. Try not to think too hard. Just intuitively go with where your heart tells you.
Yes. I'm going to have my little love bug.
Look at the baby. Hi, Babash. Yes. What's her name?
His name is Oliver. I adopted him
in Oliver.
2019.
Look at that.
He's the love of my life. He's a man of the crowd.
Yeah. For all those listening on the pod, this is a beautiful baby dog. Is it a terrier?
I don't know. I got to do his DNA because he's
a rescue.
Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't really know his. I just know he's pure love, and he's the most amazing gift that life has given me.
Yeah.
And I say to him, I want to buy you a house so we can have 7 more of you.
You will. It's going to happen. Keep manifesting that.
That's what I want.
All right, Paul Anthony. Question number one for wrapping up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. Who is your hero and why?
Oh, my mother. My mother is my hero and why? Because she taught me the true meaning of unconditional love.
What was mama's name?
My mom, Maria.
Mama Maria.
Maria. They say Moning, of course, because this woman for me, like, she taught me so much and she showed me the meaning of unconditional love in the way that we're not here to change people. We're only here to love them. And when you love them, it changes the whole scenario, you know, in the experience that you're going through. Because I always say maybe things that you might not like what they do, but you're going to always love them.
Yeah.
No matter what. And that for me was my mom. My mom was, and for me, will forever be my hero. I remember the day before she passed away, she looked into me at my eyes and she said, you know what, Anthony? Because I'm Paul Anthony. She called me Anthony. I want to come back to be the mother that you deserve. And I remember time, it was like a forgiveness part for both of us. And it was like her saying, coming to terms of what we went through in the past. And after she passed away, years later, I said to myself, she was already the mom I deserved, you know? Because she shaped me to be the man that I am today because of what I went through and the experiences that I went through to understand that I was going to go out to life. I was going to be ready to handle anything, no matter what. So she was my teacher, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, the hero. Rest in peace. I relate. I lost my mom earlier this year, too. So it's... And I'm closer. Thank you. I'm closer to her now more than ever and didn't think that would be possible, but I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Question number two, favorite music album of all time and why?
I'm going to say, you know, it's Celine Dion. I think it's this Talk About Love or something in the 90s. It was
That voice. That voice.
She came out. And I say why, because it was the most groundbreaking moment of my life. I was going through a major depression in my life.
Yeah.
And I remember I would put the CD on in my living room. I would lie my body. I would literally lie my body onto the floor because I thought I was not gonna be able to get out of this depression I went through, and I thought I was gonna die. And I remember listening to her music and knowing that I was going to get over it. I was going to rise. I was going to heal. And I just needed to be more patient with myself. And it was something that was I was living in the moment that was going to later on help me in the future.
Yeah.
And it did. It did, because that moment of my life was one of the most powerful moments ever. And it's like you say, you know, whatever you put within your mind is what becomes your reality. And I had to shift and I had to learn to use my mind in a more healthier way. And that was the awakening, you know, the starting of the awakening of knowing better, you know?
Yeah. And her voice alone is a gift. So for albums to have that significance when you, when you're in moments like that and come back, it's pretty healing and magical. Like, so yeah, I always like to ask people favorite album and why, like how, because music is so spiritual too for me. You know what I'm saying?
It has a big meaning in it. It vibrates within your body.
Yes. All right. Final question for wrapping up my Florida's Rapid Cues. What is your favorite quote of all time? Could be someone that repeated a quote to you, or just a quote that you've lived by, whatever you want.
It's going to be interesting because I'm not a religious man. I'm not, I don't practice religion. I respect who does it. I respect everybody's belief system. I truly honor it. But it's from Jesus, funny enough. You know, it's know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Okay.
Because when you know the nature of who you are, no one fucks with you. Nobody.
And Jesus Christ said it best himself.
Nobody.
That should be the quote.
This guy came. No one fucks this guy with to you. Teach us. To teach us the truth of who we are,
yeah.
And maybe understood what he said, and knowing that about yourself, no one can tamper with you. There's no one. This doesn't exist within the realms of reality that anybody can touch your mind without your permission.
Can and you repeat that quote? Truth,
knowing that truth is the freedom that you need. That for me is my go-to and love.
Say it one more time.
Know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, it's so simple and to the point and from the heart. I love that. Oh my God. I feel great. How do you feel?
Oh, amazing.
You guys, thank you so much for being here. Paul Anthony, thank you so much. You're a delight. You're such a beautiful soul. And like, I'm so grateful that we crossed paths and we're able to reconnect and reunite and basically are living the same kind of philosophy and mission statement to just be authentic and share love and light with all, right? I feel like
it's funny, and it's funny, Andrew. We never spoke a lot when we worked.
No.
We didn't connect because
different sides. Yeah.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I always knew within my heart when I would see you, I said, this guy is very interesting. He's very nice. I knew there was something beautiful about you as a human.
Thank you.
And I wasn't wrong.
I felt the same. And I wish we had more time to connect there, but we have time now. So here we are. We're using our light to share with others and continue to inspire and help others and to be of service, to continue to, you know, be their best versions of themselves. And that's really the point of Mindful Artist Podcast. So if you guys really enjoy this episode, please share it with someone that you love, that you know will resonate with the story. And if you are a creative entrepreneur that balances spirituality, email me at mindfulartistpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure that you're following us on Instagram at mindfulartistpodcast as well. And that song you're about to hear closing out is going to be Mi Corazon, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. Paul Anthony, you're a delight. I appreciate you so very much. And for everybody else out there, go make an impact in someone else's life. Much love and light to you all. We'll see you at the next show. Bye, guys.